I don't know about you, but I have had a lot of baggage in my life. I mean, lots of it. And a lot of the baggage was stuff that I didn't realize was baggage. It was stuff that I had grown up with. There was thoughts and ideas and things that I was told and things that I was led to believe that were true. And God's revelation to me continues to come. And as He gives me revelation or reveals to me what is true, then that which I had once believed becomes apparent that it's a lie. So the light always drives out darkness. So Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." And the problem with humanity is that we had been separated from the truth. And His name is Jesus Christ. He says, "I am the truth." So these words He said that I speak to you are spirit and they're life-giving. And then the entrance of His word brings light. It brings revelation. And so then what happens is there becomes a conflict or a battle in our minds with what is true versus what we've been led to believe through our lives, through our circumstances, our environment, the things that we have been told and taught growing up, sometimes even by the examples that we've witnessed in other people's lives, that maybe we copied thinking that that was a good thing. So God is dispelling the lie of the enemy so that His people can be free and no longer a slave to wrong thinking. Because, you know, as a man thinks in his heart, what? So is he. And so if I believe a certain thing about myself, then I'm going to live that certain thing out. If what I believe is not true, then I'm going to live a lie and I may not realize it, right? People that are deceived don't realize it. And God is still working in me. He's still working in all of us, revealing to us what is true. What does God say about it? I've had my ideas, I've had my thoughts, I've had my opinions, but now I need to discover what does God think about it? And now my life has to come into agreement with what God says about it now. Are you hearing me? Otherwise, we are what the Bible calls in Proverbs 3, being wise in our own understanding. And as long as I'm wise in my own understanding, I'm walking in darkness, I'm walking in deception. Deception, once again, is believing a lie as though it were true. So the Lord's purpose in all of our lives is to reveal to us what is really real. What is really real. What is true. The truth is what's real. Come on. You ever hear it said, come on, let's get real. Right? What I mean is, let's be truthful. Let's be truthful about this. Let's get real. So I don't know about you, but I want the truth and I want to be real. I want to be authentic. I don't want to live a fake life. I don't want to try to, you know, be anybody except who God made me to be. Okay? And I don't want to think any other thoughts except His thoughts. I want my thoughts to come into agreement with His thoughts. Because when my thoughts are contradicting His thoughts, there's a problem. I'm wise in my own understanding. And when I'm wise in my own understanding, I will begin to approve of things that God doesn't approve of. Things that can be damaging, actually, to me. So I want to be wise, and I pray, Lord, grant me wisdom. You know, the Bible says if you pray and ask God for wisdom, He'll give it to you. Just pray in faith. Just believe it, that when you ask for it, you receive it. You know, so after you ask God for wisdom, say, thank you, Lord, I receive that. And then just listen to what He said. Well, He'll give you direction. How many know we need wisdom every day, right? I mean, we're making decisions all the time. How many know you need to know God's voice? You need to know what God is saying. And through our experience and through the Word of God, we come to know His voice. We can discern it. You can pick it out of a crowd. And the voice of God will cut through the mix. And you can say, that's God. I know that's the Lord. And then there's other times when our voices, you know, and our thoughts are louder than God's. And we thought, that's God. No, why? I know it's God because I thought it. You know what I'm talking about, right? If it was my thought, it must be God. It must be inspired. But God is teaching us how to listen, teaching us how to hear and discern His voice. And if you want to know Him, He will reveal Himself to you. If you really, really, really want to know what is true, guess what? He'll give it to you. He'll make it clear to you. You may have to seek, but He'll make it clear to you. You know, anything that's worth anything is worth seeking. If you knew there was some buried treasure, you know, somewhere, you didn't know quite where it was at, but you knew there was a map that could help you find it. And maybe that map was, you know, the only thing you had, but you knew that map was going to get you to where that treasure was. You would be willing, you know, to sell everything you have to purchase that map so you could find that treasure. Are we willing to give up everything we have and know and believe that we may discover the greatest treasure of all? He may not ask us to give up all your stuff, but He might. He might bring us into a place like Israel in the wilderness and say, God, all we got is this manna and this water. But thank God you got manna and you got water, amen? And you have His presence that goes with you. His presence goes before you. And last week we talked about the presence, following His presence. You know, God's people, really, most of the time, are easy to love, I think. I didn't say all the time, but most of the time. My wife and I have been together, I'm not going to tell you how long, but a long time. How long has it been, honey? I can't even remember. I'm in trouble now, right? Yeah. We've been together about 34 years, something like that. So, yeah, I'm as old as I look, right? Yeah. Don't look a day over 60, but... It's the anointing, bro. It's the, yeah, preserved in oil. We've been together a long time, and, you know, there's times when we have disagreements. Yeah, oh, yeah. But our love goes deeper than the disagreement, because it's developed roots through the years of enduring and going through things together and sticking in there and being committed to love one another regardless of who wins or who's right. Love is a choice. Love is me saying, I'm going to love you regardless of whether we agree or not. And if we would love one another, you know, we would stay together. And it has to be from both sides, doesn't it? We both have to love one another and submit to one another. One of the biggest issues that I've had, and you have as well, is really knowing who am I? Who am I? What is my identity? You know, why am I here? What's it all about? What's the purpose of this? Is it just to survive and get through and hopefully strike the lotto or something? Or, I hope you're not wasting your money on the lotto, by the way. But, you know, that's not what we're here for. We have a divine purpose. God has placed us here with a divine purpose. Every one of us here. It's not a coincidence. It's not an accident that you're even here today. God ordained that you would be here today. Well, you may say, well, I decided to come here. Yeah, but God put something in your heart to tug you and to bring you here because there's something He wants to put in your spirit. And He's already been putting something in your spirit so far. But listen to what He's saying. And Holy Spirit, I ask you to guide me and everything I say in Jesus' name. Amen. How many have heard the statement, I'm just a sinner saved by grace? How many believe that that is a biblical statement? Okay, well, you don't want to say yes because you might be wrong. And you don't want to say no because you might be wrong. And, well, hopefully today we'll discover whether or not that's true. But I think most of you know the answer already. Am I just a sinner as an identity saved by grace? No. No. We are more than conquerors to Him who loved us. We are no longer slaves to sin, but we are sons of God. And I live out of that new creation, that new identity, who I am in the Lord and not who I was. See, the devil wants you to dwell on who you were so that you will live as though you weren't born again. He wants you to live out of the old identity rather than your new identity. So he plays with your head. And he's really good at pointing out your faults. And when you blow it, he rubs it in. When you were a heathen, couldn't care less, you could sin really good and not really be bothered by it, you know? And after you're born again, all of a sudden it's like, man, I hate my sin. I hate it when I mess up. Are you hearing me today? If you don't hate your sin, you got to get saved. Amen. You got to get God's Spirit in you. And if he's in you, he's going to bring conviction to us. Thank God for that. But it's not because we're not his kids. It's because we are his kids that sin bothers us now. Thank God for that. Amen. Because it didn't bother me before, but it bothers me now. And even when you listen to the wrong voice and you make the wrong decision, you feel really bad about it. And the Holy Spirit's there, just, you know what to do. Go back to the altar. Confess it. Renounce it. And let the blood of Jesus cleanse you from it. Amen. And then get up, dust off your knees, and get back in the battle. But then the enemy comes along and says, you remember what you did? I mean, you just confessed it. And 5 minutes later, he comes walking up and says, remember what you just did? Come on. Why? Because he wants you to believe a lie about yourself, and he wants you to live out of your past and out of who you were rather than who you are now. In your new identity, the new creation in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Now let's take a look at our scripture today. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. Sometimes we read through the scriptures, I do, and I kind of bounce through things, and other times the Holy Spirit will say, I want you to pay attention here. And he'll begin to open things up to you because he wants to speak to us. How many know God wants to speak to us? How many know that God is speaking to you right now? Amen. I'm just a clay vessel, but God is speaking through me. I know it. Why? Because I'm going to get the CD after this. You know, it's not about the messenger, is it? It's about Jesus. But we are all to be those messengers. We're all to be those ambassadors. We're all to be God's people, amen, to this world. His agents of change. He wants to work through us, all of us. So if we pray and we say, God, help me, do you know what God does? He helps you. Now hear it. 1 John 1:8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, plural, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. In other words, we're calling God a liar to say that we have not sinned. If we want to have fellowship with God, it requires you and I being honest about ourselves. We need to acknowledge the truth concerning ourselves if we want fellowship with God. That means we're not faking God out. We cannot fake God. Amen? He knows. He knows your thoughts. God does know what we think. And what we think will determine how we live. And if we continue to live according to what we think and not what he thinks, it will produce a certain character, a certain lifestyle that can lead to death. So we need to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. We need to discover what is real, what is true. And we need to come into agreement with what God says, and we need to forsake our way. We need to forsake our opinions. We need to forsake our thoughts. Because if we continue in our own wisdom or our own understanding, we are on a path, a slippery slope that leads to destruction. And God gave us the truth. He reveals it to us by His Spirit and through His Word so we can know what is true, so we can be free. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. You know, John makes a distinction here between sin, singular, and sins, plural. Sin refers to that corrupt, evil nature. We call it the flesh. Sins refers to the evil deeds that we do in our body, or even in our minds. So sin here is speaking of the sin nature that's in everyone. Sins are the deeds that we have done or do in our flesh. So God wants us to be free, first of all, from the S-I-N problem. From the sin nature or the power of sin. When you're not free from the power of sin, you continue to live sinful. And you have sinful deeds. If the sin problem is dealt with, then you have power to live a godly life. But you and I do not have the ability in ourselves to live a godly life. That's why we need grace. Amen? We need God's mercy. We need His help to overcome this world. And so God will allow us to fail over and over again. Hear this. And over again until we realize that we cannot do it. The law was given to Israel. Israel could not keep the law perfectly. They had to learn that lesson so that they would shift away from themselves to God, who alone is able to keep them, who alone is able to give them the grace to overcome the world. It's in the Spirit. It's not by might nor power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. You see, it's leaning on Jesus, on His grace, on His ability that gives me victory over the world. So God wants to set us free from this thing called sin. And like I said earlier, what we are naturally is a lot worse than anything we've ever done. The problem is, it's that nature that's in us. Even Paul said, it's actually sin working in me. The good I want to do, I don't do. Because he said, there's something in me that is terrible, that I hate, that I don't want to obey. But when I try not to obey it, I end up obeying it. Isn't that funny? Has anybody ever had that problem before? But there's a solution to this. There is an answer to that. And there is a way of victory over the sin nature. And that's what I really want us to focus on today. Is you need to dissect this a little bit. And you need to distinguish between sin or the sin nature and sins, the deeds that are done in your body. If we confess our sins, plural, He's faithful and just to forgive us. Amen. He will cleanse us from them. But if you're in Christ, there's a desire in your heart to live for Him, to do the right thing, to listen to His voice. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Folks, what the world is doing today, and it's nothing new, but they call it the New Age, you know, like something new. It's really the old lie, but they call it New Age. As they're saying that sin does not exist. It's a figment of your imagination. What a lie. The very same one who enticed man to sin, who caused him to fall from his glory, from his place in the Lord. He lost his clothing. He became naked. He lost the glory of God that he was clothed in. The same devil who enticed him to sin for the purpose of usurping and taking away Adam's authority. And then becoming the little g, the little god of this world, when God originally gave that to mankind to rule, amen, over all the creation. The same devil who did that to Adam then comes along. And he lies to you. And he tells you that you can't, you won't, you'll never. There is a distinction here. And this thing about there is no sin, he'll tell people that. Why? Because he wants to keep people in their sin. If he can keep a person in their sin, then what will happen is they will go before to judgment with that sin. And the fire of God will consume. Are you hearing me? That individual, that soul. So Christ, in his mercy, went to the cross, paid the price for our sin. Aren't you glad? In other words, he was the lamb that was laid upon that brazen altar of fire, which represents the fires of hell. Offered up completely. The whole offering was given on our behalf so that we could be free, so we could be released from the penalty of sin, so we could walk in new life, so we can live in victory over death, hell, and the grave. Do you understand that when Jesus rose in Christ, we rose with him? Ephesians 4 tells us, right? We've been raised up together, seated together with him, with Christ, in heavenly realms. The devil wants people to believe that they're good. You're intrinsically good. Actually, everybody is really pretty good by nature. Isn't it interesting that we can get together at a certain event that attracts a lot of people, and depending on what the event is, will determine how the crowd reacts and how they act? We're like chickens. We waddle around in the chicken yard, and the chief chicken's going this way. We're all kind of following suit, you know. And are you hearing me? You can go to these nice things, these nice fairs, and people will be usually pretty tame and nice. But you can go to a mosh pit or some other kind of really hard rock, you know, concert or whatever, and people are licking blood off the floor and, you know, and beating each other up. And oh yes, I know that was graphic, but that's the reality of mankind and the sin nature that dwells within every person. Isn't it interesting that sometimes the sociopaths are some of the friendliest people you meet, you know? Man, this is the guy next door, you know? And then they discover, oh my word, he did what? Because of that sin nature that's lurking within. And so when the devil convinces people that they're good, they will continue to live in sin and they will go to hell with that sin. So the Holy Spirit speaks today. And he convinces and he convicts men of sin so that they become aware of their true condition and that I am in sin and I need mercy from God. I'm in trouble. Are you hearing me? And so I turn to God's answer. God's love for me is Jesus on that cross. God loved us that much. He didn't just say, you're sinful, I don't want anything to do with you. He went all the way to the cross for us. Because he wants us to be with him. And he wants us to enjoy fellowship with him. He wants us to walk in this new life. Come on. Hallelujah. God is good. We don't have to be bound by fear. We don't have to be bound by shame. We don't have to be bound by guilt. You don't have to be bound by your own thoughts. God wants to set you free. God wants his people free. You don't have to be bound by addiction. God wants you free. Folks, if God wants us free, do you think maybe he has enough power to set you free?
Yeah.
The problem is we don't believe to the level of being free, to the degree that we believe it will be given unto us. According to your faith, let it be unto you. If I don't believe that God's going to do anything, don't bother praying. Sometimes we pray for people and it's like they're just there. You just know that they're like, they're not going to receive anything because they're not going to believe it. You know, sometimes though, our faith trumps their faith. It's true. Sometimes we just have to believe for somebody else. And don't blame them if they don't get healed too. Because sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no, but sometimes it's wait. We just don't know what God's going to do, but we do know that He wants us to pray for people and believe for their miracles. And we're just, I guess, gullible enough to believe that and step out in it. And we see God heal people all the time. Amen? Because we're just children. We're just saying, okay, Papa, you said go do this. We're going to go do this. Well, theologically, you know, unless we become His children, we're not going to experience, we're not going to see the kingdom. Are you hearing me? You got to keep it simple. I mean, children sometimes can receive a lot faster than we can as adults. Yeah, isn't it true? The devil tells people they're good. So they don't sense or have a felt need of repentance. He's constantly trying to get people to avoid repentance. The messages you hear today, folks, how many of them are talking about repentance today? Well, we don't want to irritate or make people uncomfortable. And, you know, besides, they won't give their tithe and we won't have this big, beautiful building anymore. We don't want to irritate the Joneses. Actually, we can irritate them, but no. But they have a heart for God. People that love God love truth. Amen. Amen. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. You will forsake your thoughts and you will receive my truth, my thoughts. So the devil lies to people and he tells them that they're good enough to merit heaven. Here's another one. You just need to do a little bit more good and you're going to be fine. Just be a do-gooder and you will be good. The Bible says there is none good. None. Except one. That's God. How many know that Jesus was God incarnate? And He said, I am the way. He said, why do you call me good? Because they recognize who He was. Some of them, sometimes we don't even realize sometimes what we're realizing. Does that make sense? Something's going on. We don't even realize what's going on. There's times when I'm saying stuff. I just God downloads and drops stuff in and I say it. And people say, yeah, well, you were talking right to me. I had no idea. I'm just going to be the messenger, the paper boy. I'm going to say whatever God says. And we'll let the Lord sort it out at the end. Amen. My desire, my heart is that everyone here will come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that we'll repent, amen, and turn to the Lord wholeheartedly, that we will surrender and yield our lives to Him and be the vessels that He fills with His power, His glory, and we go up and we light up the night and we destroy the works of darkness, amen. We cast out demons, we heal the sick, we preach the kingdom everywhere we go. That's what God wants for us. That's what God wants you to do. And it's not just me, it's all of us working together for the same end, amen, to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ in the earth. To bring men to Him. Yep, just be a do-gooder and you will be a good person. You know, sometimes we can appease our own conscience by just doing good things. Does God want us to do good things? Yes, yes. But the good things don't make you good. You are to do good things because He has made you good. The world does good things in hopes that they will become good. But we do good things because God has made us good. He becomes our goodness. And so it's the life of Christ through us. Amen. That's the goodness of God. And that's what people need. That's what they want. That's what people are looking for. They're looking for people who really love. How many like hanging out with people who really love you? Amen, right? Conversion does not mean the eradication of the sin nature. Hear this. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, right? The truth is not in us. Conversion does not mean that it's eradicated. Rather, it means that God implants a new divine nature and power in us to live victoriously over indwelling sin. Conversion means that God has now implanted in you His divine nature, His Holy Spirit, and has given you power to live in victory over sin, S-I-N, the sin nature. You see, that nature is still present. Anybody here disagree with that, that you still don't have a sin nature, right? You, everybody would agree, yes, I still have a sin nature. Okay. The victory is through Christ. And in fact, I want us just to jump over to that real quick. It's Romans chapter 7. Look at verse 16, Romans chapter 7, verse 16. Now understand that when the scriptures were written, they were not written with chapter and verse. That was something we put in, and I'm glad that they have those in there because I'd really be lost then. But they originally were not written that way. So I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. But if I know that what I am doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. What is God's rules, right? So I am not the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. And I know, this is the Apostle Paul saying, that nothing good lives in me. Would you turn to your neighbor and just say, nothing good lives in me? Except Jesus. That is in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. Now, many people will read this and they will use this as an excuse to indulge their sin nature, because they're not reading it in context. They're just taking this portion of Scripture and saying, see, right here, even Paul lived like a filthy, rotten sinner. No, that's not what he's saying. Let's look at this. Verse 19, I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. Does that sound familiar? Verse 20, but if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. There's that S-I-N, what? The sin nature. Then in verse 21, he says, I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. In other words, he says, I can't seem to get it right on my own. In verse 22, he says, I love God's law with all my heart. But there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to do the sin that is still within me. Where's the war at? In the mind. Verse 24, oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Verse 25, thank God the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So you see how it is. Listen, in my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. Now, this is the interesting thing, that if you just stop there and you don't continue into chapter 8, you'll get a totally different context and a totally different message. But this actually continues the same theme. Look at it, chapter 8, verse 1. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Verse 2, and because you belong to Him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The life-giving Spirit of Christ has set me free from the law of sin and death. So, praise the Lord, if I'm in Christ, I am no longer a slave to sin. I am no longer a slave to sin. I'm free. According to the Word of God, I am free from sin in Christ. I'm not going to believe the lie anymore that I can't, I won't, that I'm not free. If Christ is in me, the body is dead because of sin. If Christ is in me, I've been raised up with Him. If Christ is in me, I have the power, the victory that Jesus won. When Jesus overcame, I overcame. When He was risen, I rose with Him. Do you understand? His victory is my victory. I walk in His victory. My mind has to come to that realization, that agreement with what is true and not what I've been told, not what I've thought, not what the devil's told me. But what God says is what I believe. And when you believe, you will see the fruit of freedom in your life. That's why sometimes when I just sing that simple chorus, and the devil tries to beat me up in my mind, I just say, I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things have passed away. I've been born again. More than a conqueror. That's who I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Silence, devil. Amen. Say yes to the Lord and no to the devil. Say yes to His voice and no to your voice. Because your thoughts are going to agree. Your fleshly nature is already subject, amen, to that wicked one. So I no longer live according to that rule. I've been set free from it. You see, if you get a hold of this and you realize this, this will break off bondage in your life. It will set you free from addictions. The devil tells people that they can't and they won't because this is who you are. You're just an addict. Stand up and say, I'm an alcoholic. No, I'm not. That's a lie. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I've been set free. Hallelujah. Every time that voice comes, that's what you say. No, illegal. God's power in me is greater than he that's in the world. The devil has no power over you except if you believe him. If he can get you to believe him and to listen to his lie, then he will have power over you. That's what he did in the beginning. He got them to believe him and to agree with him. And oh yeah, maybe God doesn't know what he's talking about. Maybe God really isn't good. God's trying to hold out on us. Yeah, wise in their own understanding. But what God says is what is true. And that's what we're going to live. You know, folks, you can walk in confidence. You can walk in freedom. You can walk as an ambassador. You can watch God work in your life and work through your life in full confidence. Not walking around in guilt and shame and regret over the past, but free from that to walk in new life to serve the Lord now. God wants every one of us serving Him, and we won't serve Him if we're living in guilt and shame and condemnation. Because then we're like, I'm unworthy. You understand that God makes you worthy. And He thought you were worthy enough to go to the cross. That's how much we're worth to God. In Jesus Christ, I'm no longer a sinner. But I'm a son with power over sin. You hear it? In Christ Jesus, I'm no longer a sinner by identification. That's not who I am. I'm a son. I'm a son who makes mistakes at times, but I'm not a sinner. That was the old me. And the old me is dead. I'm a new creation. God wants His people free. And your freedom will come as you believe what God says. See, sometimes the theology we sit under can destroy us too. It will keep you in bondage. It will keep you enslaved to performance and to law. And as long as we're under law, there's no freedom there. But we're in the grace of God. There is a heart that loves God and desires God and wants to live and please God. Are you hearing me? So we don't indulge the sin nature because we hate the sin nature. And every day we want that thing dead, amen, out of our life. If you're not in Christ today, if you're not born again, then folks, you will continue to be a slave. And maybe you are born again today, but you're just not living in victory because something is wrong up here in my thinking. We're not believing what God has given us as a report about His Son and what He's accomplished for us when He said, I have overcome the world. And the overcomer lives in me. The overcomer is in me. And I'm more than a conqueror through Him who loved me. Gave Himself for me. I'm a new creation in Christ. That's who I am. Anything else is illegal. Those other thoughts that tell you differently say, no, that's who I was. This is who I am now. And I'm going to live out of that identity as a son who has full access to the throne of my Father. And when I need mercy, I need grace, I can come boldly, confidently, as a son covered in the blood of Jesus and receive everything I have need of. The devil doesn't want you to believe that. He wants you to feel unworthy and that God will not receive you if you come to Him. Because look what you did. The accuser, constantly. That's why we have to overcome. We have to fight and say no. God said, I believe what God said. God says, if I confess my sins, He's faithful and just to forgive me. That's what God said. And to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Quit dwelling on sin. Get your mind off your addiction. Get your mind off your sin. And get your mind on Jesus. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And King James. King Jameseth. But God says if you keep your thoughts above, keep your eyes on me, I am your victor. Amen. And I will give you victory. Because my victory has now become your victory. I did it for you. You can't do it for you. But I did it for you. And I make my grace available for you to overcome this world. You don't have to be a slave to sin anymore. You're a son. You're a daughter in Christ Jesus. Folks, in order for you and I to overcome, Christ must be in us. He must be in our lives and our hearts. You must be in Christ. If you are just still in you, if you're still in Adam, then there's no hope for you of standing in the judgment. There's no hope of you overcoming in this world. But if you are in Christ, if you are in Christ, then you are a new creation. And that's what you live out of, that identity. Thank you, Jesus. Now listen, if you're here this morning and you're not in Christ, you need to surrender your life to Jesus Christ. That means you come to Him with nothing in your hand, none of your own goodness. You come to Him with your brokenness. You come to Him with your shame. You come to Him with your regrets. You just come broken like we all do. Come broken. Come to Jesus. Come to Him for mercy. Come to Him for His grace, His power to set you free. If you're in Christ, you become a new creation. If you're still in you and you're not born again, you will not see the kingdom. Hear me. But you will have to face judgment in your own goodness. And your own goodness is to God is as filthy rags. You need His goodness. You need His righteousness. You need Him to clothe you in Himself in order for you to be qualified to be there. And if you're here today and you say, I'm not really sure. I don't really know if I'm born again, but I certainly want to be born again. I certainly want to know that Christ is in me. I want to become that new creation. And I sense that God is really pulling on my heart today. Not just to give Him lip service, but to surrender my life to Him. If you mean business for God, He will manifest. He will reveal Himself to you. He will save you, and He will give you His Spirit, His Holy Spirit. You will become a new creation. But you've got to turn to Him. You cannot save yourself.